flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here. We were just talking about the sentimental items that you just can't get rid of as Alex Bregman serves as that for Jose Altuve. That's the news that happened yesterday, maybe the news of today thus far, the idea that Bregman is re-engaging in conversation with the Astros. And you guys kept it going on the text line, 713-572-4610. Somebody said from the 281, their kids are 21, 16, and 13, and they have every handwritten letter they wrote to Santa Claus and every card they've ever given to him.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
That is absolutely awesome.
Someone else said that they still have their KISS poster, and I'm like, you got to handle that really well.
Ocho said he has the VHS of Coming to America. I said, don't ever get rid of it.
No, don't get rid of it. I was watching that movie the other day. It was on BET. I just stopped and started watching.
Now, let me ask you, if this is gross.
Uh-huh.
The Tooth Fairy gave me all my kids' teeth, and I'm saving them.
It is, but it's not. Like, I feel like for parents, that's just, that's one all of those weird teeth. Things that's not weird for them. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom did that for a good while, and I know
that was really nice of the Tooth Fairy to give me all those.
Okay. No. I feel like the kids are also still in school, but whatever, dog. I'll let you cook on that. Let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. If you're tired of the hassle of selling your tickets, say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today, and they'll handle the rest. That is Quick Assist. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. We start with your Houston Texans. This defensive line was phenomenal this season. What was it, 49 sacks?
Yep.
Is what you ultimately saw. I mean, just an incredible output. And a lot of it, a lot of the credit clearly deserves, goes to the talent that you have, but also your defensive line coach, Rod Wright, and then also Nate Ollie, who is the assistant defensive line coach. He was a part of the giving of each of the players nicknames. Remember, we learned that a few weeks back?
Yeah.
That helped build kind of the personalities and the character of the guys as they played. And unfortunately, that particular entity will no longer be with your Texans, as Nate Ollie is now going to be the Falcons' head defensive line coach, and obviously a well-earned promotion for him. And you know, as it goes in the NFL, if somebody on your staff has an opportunity for a upward movement,
a promotion,
you give them that. I mean, you're obligated to allow them to go for that. I mean, obviously, I'm sure everybody in that building is happy for him. Like, he clearly was a benefit to that organization and to particularly that room and the vibes that they had. Multiple people, I mean, Matt Burke talked about it. I think Bobby talked about it at one point. D'Amico was talked about how just you walked past that room and you saw the vibe and the jubilation. And of course, that's the type of thing that's cultivated. Obviously, Rod Wright deserves a lot of credit, but also Nate Ollie.
Yeah, and much like the Greg Grissom news, I don't think, maybe to a larger extent, obviously, because he was coaching them, but I don't know how much it's going to actually affect like the product on the field when you have these types of players. They've already established, you know, what they are and how they play.
Sure.
The defensive approach is not going to change. But it is something of a you know, obviously an adjustment that you have to make. You know, little bit of a, oh, well, shucks, you know. But
No, for sure.
But I don't think it's going to necessarily affect this defensive line.
I don't think so as well, but I mean, just that means that there's going to be another person in that role who, you know, in that place, and you hope that you keep that same vibe, because that's one of the things that was very great about seeing this team is you see the way that there's cohesion with that defensive line, and that was clearly the strength of your team this year. Salute to Nate Ollie. Go do well in the NFC South now. All right, speaking of the AFC South, though, and the NFC South, right, their crossover there, yeah, man, that drama got real dramatic yesterday as Trent Baalke was fired the day before, in part because it felt like Liam Cohen was like, hey, I'm going back to the Buccaneers. I will stay in my same job, become the highest paid coordinator, and just avoid the mess that is the Jaguars with Trent Baalke. Well, with Trent Baalke out the way, we were talking about them trying to circle the block, sending that, hey, big head text.
Yeah.
Apparently that, hey, big head text was responded. Liam Cohen got into some mess. So yesterday he was supposed to sign his deal to become the highest paid coordinator with the Bucs, his extension, or his contract. And the Bucs couldn't find him. They couldn't reach him. Apparently, they could not reach him because he was in Jacksonville talking again to the Jaguars. And ultimately, we got to a place where eventually the Bucs found out about it, or were told about it. And then now Liam Cohen is set to be the new Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. So there's two parts of this. There's the Liam Cohen as Jaguars coach that we'll talk about in a moment. But I want to go back to the mess of it, because the messy is hilarious to me. Apparently, supposedly, the reason why Liam Cohen didn't have conversation with the Bucs was because one of the stipulations for the sign of the contract that the Bucs were going to give Liam Cohen and all of the money that they were going to give him was that he would not have another meeting with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
Do you like that? Or who do you side with in that case? Because that then led to Liam Cohen basically ghosting them and seeing, doing the equivalent of all the sitcoms or like, you know, coming of age films where they climb out the window and go see the person that they're forbidden from seeing in the middle of the night. Do you side with Cohen or do you side with the Bucs?
I don't mind the Bucs doing that, but I absolutely side with Cohen. Let this be a lesson to you kids. If you ever get into a situation where you have this kind of leverage, use it. Use it. I mean, as people often say, there's only 32 of those, man. And he put it on the table. Shad Khan said, okay, we'll get rid of him. And now he's the head coach. But from the Tampa perspective, I don't mind them doing that.
I do. I feel like that's kind of skeevy.
No, I mean, I think they tried.
I think it's kind of
skeevy. Don't ask, don't get, you know?
That is fair, right? Yeah. You got to give it a shot.
But I wouldn't abide by it, and he didn't.
Like it, bro. They can't be mad at him for ghosting.
Exactly.
Him. Yeah, y'all put that in the contract. I am not signing that contract.
Yeah, I want
to
wait.
Matter of fact, I'm not even taking y'all calls anymore.
Wasn't there another kind of funny aspect to this? Maybe I have this wrong. Like, at first he was like his kid's thing.
Supposedly, and I did not get the depth of this or really I wasn't able to really track this down, but I did see that, and so take this with a grain of salt. This is what I'm basically saying. That supposedly, in not trying, being able to reach him, maybe the Bucs had gotten the idea that he was taking care of a sick kid.
That's
when
what
he
was.
When he was ultimately going and talking to
my kid
to the
was sick.
Hey, man.
Man, if we, I had a nickel.
We've all been there.
If I had a nickel.
We've all been there where, you know, you maybe have to stretch the truth or maybe lie in a circumstance to your boss. It'd be like that sometimes. I ain't mad at him. Don't be listening, Parker. But Liam Cohen now joins the AFC South without the restraints of Trent Baalke. Like, once Trent Baalke was fired, that job looked really appealing. And now you get a dude who, by all means, is a very good schemer of the game. Like, he's good with the X's and O's. What is your level of concern now, seeing that the Jaguars, with a quarterback that at the very least has some talents, even if we're not sure exactly what he brings to the table, now has Liam Cohen with him, a dude who had that Tampa Bay offense humming.
Well, not only Liam Cohen, who is, I mean, his resume is impeccable. Like, he has earned this shot. You know, really, really good at Kentucky, if you want to go back to the college days. And then Rams, and I'm trying to remember them all here. But, of course, he's climbed the ranks.
He went Kentucky, Rams 4 years, the OC, back to Kentucky in 2023, then the Bucs last year.
Yeah, so he has earned this opportunity. But you know my level of concern? Yes, to answer the question, it is a little bit more, okay, you know, keep an eye on them. Not just because of Liam Cohen being there, but because of Trent Baalke not being
there.
That's right. You know, the addition through subtraction. And Cohen now, you talk about a guy that's going to have power, he's going to hire the general manager.
That's right. The general manager will serve at his behest is the way I like to say it.
Yeah.
And I always kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you got to make sure you're giving the right person that kind of authority. But that creates a level of synergy that I usually think is pretty helpful for an organization. Like, you have to have a oneness of thought process. Not saying that you can't have differing opinions and you can't butt heads a little bit in order to have healthy conversation that ultimately leads you to good ideas. Mm-hmm. But it's nice when you can kind of have an organizational structure where you're not going to have as much infighting and as much kind of pulling in different directions. And it feels like that's what they'll have. The one thing I always want to say with hiring of coaches is that I don't know, like, I don't think there's a way to determine who is going to be a good head coach.
Right.
Like, I don't know that there's things that absolutely mean that you will be prepared for the situation. And if you look at it for Liam Cohen, I don't know that he, like, the executive portions of this, I don't know. Like, are you going to be able to be a head coach and an offensive play caller, and you kind of need to be a quarterback coach, because we're all wondering, is Trevor Lawrence going to get back on the path that it felt like he was going to be on when he was at Clemson and he was a number one pick and had all of that shine? Mm-hmm. He's clearly off of that path, and you have to steer him back. Like, are you going to be able to do those things on the granular level, but also be a head coach over all of this, and maybe also have input on player personnel?
Well, maybe that's why it benefits you to have the relationship already with whomever's going to be the general manager.
Yeah.
We had that here. I mean, Gary Kubiak basically hired Rick Smith.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of people may argue this, but it was for a long time very, very successful and good synergy, as you put it.
From the text line from 346, still the Jags ain't worried. Fair enough. Touche. Mm-hmm. I can tell you I'm not worried about this. The Las Vegas Raiders have found their new head coach. Their new old head coach, Pete Carroll, is going to be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, he was the Seahawks head coach from 2010 to 2023, won a championship, not just in the NFL, but also, don't forget, USC. He has had a long, long run of things, and of course, the Seahawks kind of pushing him into a consultant role in the front office because they wanted to get younger. He obviously still wanted to coach, and here he goes. But, man, this doesn't feel like, why Raiders?
Why Pete? Why Pete? He's going to be 74 when the season begins. And look, hey, shout out to him. Good luck, Godspeed, and all that.
And not only is he 74, he seems to kind of have, like, some relatively old-school ideas in the ways that he goes about, particularly offense. Like, remember when in that period of time where he was like, we need to run the ball more. In a time where it felt like the league was moving towards, hey, we need to have a more integrated pass game and things. I am real interested to see how this goes. But one thing about Pete Carroll, he can't, like, the executive portions, just like in the inverse with Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
I think that he can do those really well. It'll be really incumbent upon, well, of course, first and foremost, if they get a quarterback that they like and they're drafting high enough to where maybe you have something there. But who he gets as coordinators, like, who are the people that he will put in some of those places in order to help him with the schematics of it? Because I don't think that he has much of a leg there, but of course he has the CEO thing.
He is going to be Mr. Las Vegas, though. That's the interesting part. Like, when he was in LA, remember, he's jumping off of high dives and all the USC cheerleaders, and then of course he goes to Seattle and he was so popular.
Yeah, I was down there 20 years ago though, man.
Yeah,
that man, 74.
No, but he's Mr. Vegas.
He still knows how to be someone's boss, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gonna be out there in them Air Monarchs.
Yeah.
Chewing that gum.
Exactly.
Looking like a cartoon character wearing the same damn thing every week. Shout out to Pete Carroll getting back in the game, right? He's just stuck it out.
Yeah.
Somebody said trade for Geno. Ooh, I don't think that would be something that you want to do, but hey.
Ooh, the Texans?
No. Why would the Raiders?
I was going to say.
That would be unbelievable. Ooh, boy.
Or they could bring Russell Wilson.
The things that I would say. Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
remember,
not going
to
happen.
The
either.
Russell Wilson thing, they had a whole dynamic, a whole button of heads. That was the Russ Cook era where literally Pete Carroll was actively forcing Brian Schottenheimer, or was it Schottenheimer at that time? Like, hey, we're running the football.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, no, Russ should probably be throwing his football, but that's neither here nor there. That is in the past. The future is that the Raiders are hiring Pete Carroll as their head coach. Some other things around the NFL. CBS, we're headed into the championship weekend, one of the best, if not the best, weekends of football all year long. CBS Sports, who will be broadcasting the AFC Championship game, they avowed that the Doink Cam is returning, baby. The Doink Cam, where they put the camera in the uprights. You're fond of the Doink Cam?
We need a Doink. I mean, it really doesn't come into play very often, but I could sure use a doink.
I mean, we've gotten quite a few doinks of late. I mean, most recently, didn't you have Zane Gonzalez bank one in off the upright?
If only we had a doink cam. How could you not like that?
I don't know.
It's loud, too.
That's always the thing I appreciate.
It's really loud.
It's just, and I never know which field mic or if they even actively mic up the uprights themselves, but I always appreciate that loud boom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really interesting feel mm-hmm. with that. But yeah, that's your NFL news for right now. Oh, and then also Mark Andrews issued a statement about, you know, the heavy head that he had mm-hmm. after the, you know, dropping what would have been a game tying two-point conversion for the Ravens. And a lot of sentimentality in there. Obviously, we talked about Bill's Mafia raising damn near $100,000 for his charity that he is associated with that helps combat type 1 diabetes. Man, you feel for him because to feel like, hey, I need to go to social media and pen a long letter and put that
out.
Took
him a while and he said as much. He's like, yeah, I have to kind of just, you know, get his thoughts together. And it was really good and it was very sincere. I you know, obviously this is football and I don't know how much it's going to actually help long term, but it was good for him.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL for this Friday. And speaking of Friday, we've gone through the work week from when on Monday D'Amico Ryan said he was going to take the week. Where are we on the offensive coordinator, or just let me step back, the personnel decisions that the Texans are making? Because now you see Liam Cohen's hired. You see that Pete Carroll's hired. Offensive coordinators and other positions are going to start being hired here soon. If you are going to be in that market, you need to be out there. What's the rush, or what's the time? What's taking so long with the Texans? Let's discuss all of that next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, it's football. It's a Friday. I'm about to say football Friday. I mean, in a way.
Kind of.
It's a Friday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. And John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you, feeling the vibes, enjoying ourselves. But I feel like my man over here to my right, John Lopez, is getting a little antsy.
I am. I mean, shouldn't you be?
No, I feel pretty good. I'm good.
How are you, Figgy?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
What to be antsy about?
Well, we're good with Texans just sort of like, I won't say wringing their hands, but
let's heavy.
Weighing their options.
Thoroughly weighing their options.
For a lot longer than most NFL teams do. A lot longer. You know, hell, they call it Black Monday for a reason. You know, the Monday after the end of the
regular season,
things start to shake. Now, they had things to do after the regular season, but D'Amico Ryans came in and said, yeah, I'm going to take about a week, you know.
That's right.
We'll take this week, I think is what he said.
Correct.
So, I think what's going on? I mean, you know, we can speculate all we want. My point is, if you're going to make a move, you should already have all the data and information and have had these discussions. You know, what are you doing? Or are you just going to stand pat?
Well, I think that this one is a particularly, I don't want to say difficult because that's not the right word, mm-hmm. but it's not a cut and dry situation, right? They like Bobby Slowick, right?
Obviously. I think D'Amico really likes Bobby Slowick.
And on top of that, and I'm not just talking about general emotion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors involved, including C.J. Stroud, who got up on the podium and talked about how he would like to continue working with Bobby Slowick. I don't think that this is a Bobby Slowick is flat out bad, right? There's maybe a question of how much did the system fit here?
Yeah, we've
How much, you know, is the development happening in the way that you want to? Like, there's, it's a little bit more situational. And so, all right, the idea that, okay, you're going to come in and immediately fire him, I don't know that it is something where you go, anything is better than this, I need to fire him. Like, is that the way that you feel about the Bobby Slowick tenure as of right now?
Well, I'm looking at this more from just a human perspective.
No, I hear you, but I think the reason why I'm saying this is, I think that there has to be a full accounting, and I imagine that this team, and not imagine, I am certain that this team threw themselves fully into the playoffs, and once you get to the back half of, okay, now the playoffs are over, now we want to do the evaluation, and not just, should Bobby be here, but what is the alternative if he is not? Because again, unless you're in a place where, yo, this is just flatly unacceptable and anything that we go and find is going to be better than what we have right now, I think that ends up in the circumstance where you go, boom, thank you for your job, thank you for doing what you did. You know, we wish you the best in your destiny going forward, and we'll look somewhere else. And then you go find something. But in the place, I think this is a little more nebulous where you're like, all right, we still believe that Bobby can do some things, but let's go ahead and look around and see, are there better options? And I think that is what leads you to a certain amount of time.
I think that's what it is. It seemed, to me, I feel like it's a little more difficult than what we think. I don't think it's just that one person, like, make a decision on this one person. I think you're looking at the person, you're looking at the roster. Wondering if maybe you can turn over the offensive line. It could be all type of stuff, man. I think they're probably having long conversations on who should it be. Should it be the coaching, a.k.a. Bobby, or can we flip this roster around and keep Bobby? I think it's a lot of different options.
I totally agree with all that. And we've talked about it. You know, they have to make a decision. Are we going to have wholesale changes on the offensive line? Or we're going to change our offensive coordinator. But my point is, okay, you said this week. That's a long time, first of all, and there are things that you have to consider. And by the way, Bobby Slowick is sitting there going, man, do I need to get my resume ready? Gerard Johnson is already it's being reported that he's a candidate for the Jets offensive coordinator job.
Right. I think that was Albert Breer as soon as Aaron Glenn officially decided that he was going to go to the Jets.
Bill Lazor is the senior offensive assistant who has been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Is he sitting there going, what do I do? You know?
That's kind of the name of the football game, ain't it?
I mean, usually you either know or you absolutely see it coming.
But do it seem like they're kind of leaning more towards the coaching staff if it's taking this long? Because for you saying that, I feel like they would have gave him way more time.
I don't know where he's leaning. I really don't know.
But it seemed like maybe he's probably is staying, and maybe they're doing
hell.
I don't think they're going to wait this long.
Ben McDaniel's brother just got an OC job. I mean, there are that's four names right there. Slowick, Gerard Johnson, Ben McDaniels, Bill Lazor, all on the offensive side. They're sitting there going, man, what's going on? Well, you know, what do we do here? And my point is, it normally doesn't take this long.
So are you maybe thinking that I'm trying to read what you're saying, but I also don't want to put words in your mouth, right? So I'm trying to find a balance here. But do you then believe that means that Bobby Slowick returns, a second-year coordinator with a lot of plausible deniability, when it comes to the offensive line, right? We know that that is a foundation of an offense, and the foundation was shaky at best this year. And we also know that there was a shift in the way that they did things, a plan of attack that Bobby Slowick feels very strongly about. So in order to change away from that, there had to be a real tacit acknowledgement that, yo, this is just not the way it needs to be. Do you believe that maybe the organization is willing to go and concede that, okay, if we change the offensive line, we can still ring out good offense? Can we still build up? Because, I understand how you can get to that place while also I have concerns about, all right, the more that you caught please in a way on, okay, but it was this reason, it was this variable, it was that, you could find yourself in a tough place where you look up and you go, actually, this didn't end up being what I wanted it
to. No, my answer is I don't know. Only D'Amico and Nick Caserio and some very high-ranking people kind of know which direction they're leaning. What I will say is, personally, I hope they change the offensive line. I do believe
that's not. I don't think you got to hope. That's a guarantee at this point. Feels very
well.
Evident.
Then that would lean toward maybe Bobby staying, I would guess. Given the relationship with D'Amico, which is very close, given the offense that has worked with different types of offensive linemen, so I would say they're leaning that way. But I mean, if they're leaning that way, it kind of needs
Bobby's staying.
It needs to happen. you know? Do they even need to say anything if it's staying?
Maybe they wait. I mean, today, Friday, maybe they waiting on that news dump.
Yeah.
To say after 5 p.m., hey, he's staying. Everybody's staying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know that they would say it explicitly, but I mean,
you would get reports or whatever.
I feel like you would have to.
Right?
I feel like you would have to, at least that, hey, there's a, because at some point, you would need to start turning your attention to, like, building a team, right? Mm-hmm. And, again, we have all acknowledged that there are things that need to shift. I mean, just inherently with any offseason. If you end a season where you did not get to where you were hoping to get to, it felt like, you know, this team got to, and I don't want to make that a season-long arc, but you were close enough and you were like, you could smell the AFC Championship game and you didn't get there. You want to get to those places. DeMeco has said that explicitly, that is his goal, is to take this team and this organization to that place that they had not been before, which is the AFC Championship game and hopefully beyond. If you want to do that, you immediately go to work on how do we change this team. And you've had people talk about how there will be changes with this team. And so, yeah, no, the offensive line is the clear place where that was not sufficient and things need to change, likely personnel-wise. Mm-hmm. By the time you start doing those things, if you have not made some level of changes, I think it would be very abundantly clear. And, of course, there are people that have their ear to the ground that would hear certain things.
Yeah, they would have it.
You would have to know at some point. But, yeah, I am with you. I understand that, hey, man, I would like to know. But I kind of understand the week. Now, if we start getting into next week and we ain't heard anything, that's when I'm getting real concerned. Because, again, there are people being hired. Ben Johnson is there. Yeah. Ben Cohen now there. People are being put in place. And those other positions are going to start. So even if you, like, even outside of the courtesy of the guys that you currently have hired, allowing them to find somewhere to be, just the selfish nature of, okay, if you ultimately decide that you were going to make a move, who is going to be out there that you would be able to go and talk to, and you want to make sure that you have
the best
opportunity.
See, that's the other side of it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you do have, you know, to fill those jobs if you fill them. Now, I do think, like, the Texans have to know, well, they do. This line really wasn't good last year.
No.
You know, not this past season, 2023. But they kind of did it with, it was all found money, you know. They went, you know, they
actually played better with the found money.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to know the line is probably the answer where you have to change, but that gets a little dicey.
Well, it's one of the answers, right? Yeah. Like I don't think that you can abundantly. If it's one or the other, but I think that that's a false dichotomy. Mm. I don't know that it has to be a one or the other. If it was one or the other, sure. But I don't know that.
Because and coordinator?
It can be both.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, with the scheme, and I understand, again, I always want to put that disclaimer. The offensive line was a limiting factor. But it felt like there wasn't a lot of variability to what you were doing.
But how much of that, and I'm not trying to defend Bobby, I'm just saying this is why we're having this discussion.
Right.
It seems like okay, what's going on? Something has to happen here.
Right, and even as we are going through this back and forth, you can imagine them going through that back and forth as they try and really, you know, plot the course for what this next season is going to look like. You have to examine all these things, and I appreciate the time and caution being taken. I just want to make sure, and I hope that they don't put themselves in a place where they take too long and they make it more difficult on themselves.
Yeah, see, that's why I feel like stuff or at least the coaching part will probably stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they was really looking for somebody else outside or looking to make a move, I think they would have been said something.
Well, you would have hoped.
Yeah.
But what if it, what's going on here?
I just don't see them maybe Monday or Tuesday saying, hey, we decided to move in a different direction from Bobby.
I don't know if I believe that. It might happen. I don't know. I don't know. Like, literally, no,
we all don't know, but I just don't see them taking that much time and letting all these people move around and stuff and just last minute say,
and
you
you're
know
right,
what?
Reggie. Oh, I'm sorry, Figgy, but you're right.
Like, I like hearing that.
Like Bobby. There were some blind spots, there were some bad plays, there were some bad calls, there were some bad scripts, there were some bad game plans. I'm not denying that. How much of that, and this is another part of the discussion that they're having, I'm sure, was because they couldn't do those things with offensive linemen that just don't fit, you know, the play calling or the game plan or whatever.
Right. Now, one thing I will ask you, because, again, this was something that we talked about, right? DeMeco Ryans being only a second-year coach and this being a friend of his and one of his first calls. And clearly, when you get that early staff in, there's level sentimentality and being able to fire your friends or people that you're sentimental to. We were just talking about things that you can't get rid of that you're sentimental to.
Yeah.
How much of that factor do you imagine exists in this? And do you trust DeMeco Ryans to not have that sentimentality and really just operate on what is patently best for the team?
I think a lot, and yes. I think that's a big factor. They're tight. They worked together for a long time. It was, as you mentioned, the first call that he made. It's not easy, but I also think he can make that decision.
How confident are you thinking Bobby will be back this coming season?
Percentage-wise?
Oh, yes. Good question.
Percentage-wise? I mean, I don't mean to cop out, but I think it's
50-50.
I think it's 50-50.
Have fun standing on the fence,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
You asked. On that fence.
You asked.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And we remain in this place where, man, I am eagerly awaiting what they do here because, I mean, this is going to be huge for what the season looks like going forward and what you're able to do moving on. But coming up next in the loop, let's get, by the way, just want to let you know, coming up in the noon hour, you'll have a chance to win 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show, which is happening January 29th through February 2nd at NRG Center. So keep it locked here. But coming up next in What's Poppin', Ichiro, do you think that he has good intentions with wanting to sit down with that person who kept him off his ballot? We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' on a Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And I'm going to be very naked with my interest here. I am so excited for tomorrow for some college basketball. It is University of Houston is going to be in Lawrence, Kansas at Fog Allen Fieldhouse to face off against the Kansas Jayhawks. And this is a huge matchup that I cannot wait to see. A nice challenge in the Big 12 to see if they can take down Hunter Dickinson and KU.
And it's going to be one of many great college football games, college basketball games tomorrow across the board. It's that time of year, man. We're not only bearing down on February. That means
March Madness.
Yeah, we're getting close, man.
It's right around the corner, man.
Yeah, this is tap in time. Like I have to try and like tap in during this time of year. So that's one of the things that I'm paying attention to. But also
we need to go to a game, man.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like when I
got to go to a game.
And I didn't realize where this game was. I just knew it was Houston, Kansas, and I was like, oh, let me check and see if I can get out there. And I was like, oh, it's in Lawrence.
Yeah.
Boo. Boo. Yeah, I gotta get out to a Cougars game. But most importantly, I gotta tap in, and that's one of the ones you're gonna want to tap into Saturday at 6:30. Some other things that are popping, we mentioned this week that Houston Astro is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame on July 27th.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always mix up June and July in my brain, so I was like, which one is that? But Billy Wagner is going in. And the moment that he got the news, I wanted to use audio, but unfortunately, like, it was just kind of, you heard TV in the background, and then just him softly kind of crying because that moment meant so much, getting in on the 10th time on the ballot. This is part of what Billy Wagner had to say about this moment and getting in.
Being a closer is it's the greatest role because you're only going to play when it matters. Mm-hmm. And you're going to play a lot if you're on the good teams. And, you know, for me in 16 years, I've played on, you know, a ton of great teams, but the players that played behind me, Bagwell and Biggio and Jeff Kent and Lance Berkman and, gosh, there's too many, the bullpen guys that, you know, Jay Powell, and I told him I'd bring his name up because he said that everybody talks about starting pitchers, but, you know, the relievers that get you the ball are the ones that don't really get the credit, and, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wouldn't be for those guys and starters who couldn't finish games.
Just warms your heart. It just warms your heart. I mean, that guy was a stud, man. I couldn't have been more adamant about his Hall of Fame case from year one that he was on the ballot.
Yeah, there was a lot of why did it take him so long? In fact, should I play this audio? Bob Nightingale on with PC with Patrick Creighton on Area 45 last night. It was a really good listen. He also at that PC asked a great question to Nightingale: why it took so long to get Billy Wagner in the Hall of Fame? Why 10 times, not Bob? Why?
Well, I think just when you throw 900 innings, it's like, you know, you'd like to see more innings from a reliever in the postseason resume. You know, he struggled. He pitched over 10 innings or 14 innings, whatever it was. It wasn't like a long thing or anything like that. But I think that's what took so long. It's tough for relievers, you know. I mean, Trevor Hoffman didn't make it right away either. As great as he was, I want to say he was the third or fourth ballot. So it's tough. And I just think you know, people, you know, spent too much time worrying about what he did in the postseason. That's, of course, where Rivera, you know, made his name by being so dominant all those years in the postseason.
I mean, you can miss me with all.
I was like, I knew you weren't gonna, you were not gonna try and hear none of that, but I just had to bring it forward.
All of that. He mentioned Hoffman. Wagner was better than Hoffman. I mean, just better. You know,
you're not hearing the postseason kind of argument. No,
actually, of all the things he said, I get it, and it's mostly because of visibility.
Sure,
you know, right. The Yankees and the postseason and Mariano. It's like, oh, he's the greatest. He's the greatest closer ever. I'm not going to deny any of that. Because the postseason didn't matter. But look at their other numbers. And Wagner was every bit as good or better.
So I talked about college basketball happening tomorrow evening, mm-hmm. U of H getting active. There's another big-time Houston basketball game happening at that same time. I hope you maybe go to a sports bar or you got the TV set up like I do, because the Rockets get that return trip on the mm-hmm. Cavs. They will be up at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. 6:30 is the tip for that one, as they face off against that team that now has 7 losses. See if you can add an 8th. This should be really
fun. That would
be
something.
That would be wild, man.
That would be something.
Right, you'd be in that same territory. A weird thing happened yesterday that the Thunder, who are like mm-hmm. widely regarded as one of the best teams, if not the best team in the West, is they lost to the Mavericks for the 3rd time this year. Now, obviously, the Rockets have been one of the teams to beat them, but I think they have 8 losses, if I remember correctly, 5 of them to other teams, and then 3 to the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. I would like to be, for this Rockets team, to be that for the Cavs, where it's just like, they just have that one team that keeps beating them.
It's matchups too, you know? Sure. Everybody else talks about it, and it's a very real thing.
So yeah, but that game is happening as well tomorrow. And then also, what's happening tomorrow, Astros are getting Fan Fest going as well at Daikin Park. I believe that's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And admission is pretty cheap. I think it's $2.
That's a fun event. We've broadcast from there in the past. We've visited it. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, doesn't hurt that all of a sudden there's a little boost in Astros awareness and excitement. Because,
maybe that's why they did it. They're like, hey.
I'm not saying.
Hey, Bregman coming back, baby. Come through. Come through. Come see the new Diggs or the new old Diggs. I mean, yeah. We put a new name on it. Come through. We put some paint and some wallpaper. It's good.
Yeah.
That's happening
paint
as well.
And wallpaper.
No, that's how people spruce
what,
things
what
up.
What are they
right?
going to wallpaper over to Daikin?
I don't know.
I'm never going to get used to saying that.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. It'll happen very quickly. You probably didn't think you would get used to saying Minute Maid.
What's a good nickname for it? Because Minute
Don't
Maid,
do that. I know the first place your mind went. Do not.
The icebox.
What you going to call
it? Yes, the icebox. Okay. Icebox. That's good.
Yeah. I thought she was going to say something else.
I thought I was too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And from the 281 on the text line, fellas, speaking of college basketball, they're excited to see South Carolina LSU women's hoops. Oh, yeah. Anytime,
big rivalry.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anytime you get to see Malaysia full Wally hoop, it's mm-hmm. it's a good look. South Carolina is just, they play really good basketball.
Yeah.
Let's get in the baseball space. I've been yesterday was a very baseball-minded space for mm-hmm. me with all the Ryan Presley talk, potential trade to the Cubs talk, which that one popped up. Ryan Presley has not waived his trade clause. Of course, he's vested, and so he has that ability as a veteran to decide whether he would like to be traded or not. But it seemed like they have gotten really deep into conversations. I think Nightingale was talking about the idea of depending on what kind of coverage of the money mm-hmm. that the Astros would take would depend on what kind of things they got back. Because I immediately heard the Cubs and was like, Seiya Suzuki?
Yeah, well.
Seiya Suzuki, outfielder? Yes?
Yeah.
No, I don't imagine that happens.
I
but
don't know about
the big
that.
Thing would be getting off that $14 million for next year. So mm-hmm. we'll see if that ultimately anything happens this weekend or today even to further that. Alex Bregman. It was reported that he is re-engaged with the Astros in conversations and maybe returning. With all of that baseball stuff happening, there was also some other baseball stuff, including one news that Ipe Matsu, oh, I don't forgot my man's name. Who he is the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani,
former
interpreter. That is correct.
Yeah, Ipe Mitsuhara.
Mitsuhara. There we go. He ended up, we got some new audio leaked of him impersonating Shohei Ohtani, on the call with the bank, in case there was anybody wondering if Shohei, like, you know, was doing some things where, mm-hmm. nah, man, Shohei actually did it and Ipe is taking the fall. Listen to this, says Ipe, trying to pretend to be the, Japanese slugger.
Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you. How may I help you?
So I tried to log into online banking, and it told me Yeah, it's not available to me at this time.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
We gotcha.
Yeah. This guy is either a very, very desperate man.
He was desperate.
That had incredible debt that he just didn't know what to do, or a scumbag. Or both.
I was like, ¿por qué no los dos?
Yeah, yeah, or both. That's about as low as you can get.
$40.7 million in gambling debt.
Yeah.
That number still shakes me because I'm like, how did you get to 40 without them breaking your knees?
Once you got to like a couple hundred thousand, aren't you going, well, maybe I need to check this a little bit.
Well, see, here's the thing, right? When you look at that bank account, you're like, I can get it, right?
Well, that's what cool. they do.
But that's the thing. Yeah. That is from his perspective. I'm like, what bookie was just keeping, seeing the debt rack up and not being like, hey, we should probably go do something.
So what
this.
Is it now? I'll drive over and pay it off. It's $27 million. Oh,
right. How do we get to 40?
Let's go ahead and double down then.
And I guess I will ask this as a question. At what number do you go, if you are in theory the bookie, right? At what number do you go, I'm cutting you off or I'm doing crazy things to make sure that you start paying
well,
me back?
Well, most bookies will tell you they don't let it get high.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they don't.
40.7 so
million. What was the bookie's problem?
Hey, right. Yeah.
Ain't nobody walking around owing me $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
$1,000. I'm like, yo.
And he got all five of his toes on each foot?
I'm walking around with a bat.
Yeah, but let's say you're dealing with a millionaire and it's... $500,000 is like, dude, you got to pay.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, 100%.
You got to pay. They go to $40
million? That's why he was on that phone. Like, yeah, I am. Hey, yes.
I need to get into the bank account.
Shohei Ohtani. This is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Forget the accent. It's Shohei Ohtani.
What, you don't believe me? What, you don't think Shohei talk like this?
Hey, yo, what's good to Shohei Ohtani? What's cracking?
What's good?
It's your man Shohei.
Yep, I'm Japanese.
For some reason, I don't believe you. For some reason, I have my doubts.
Yo, I need that bread, though. Yes, I'm Japanese. Yes.
Oh, man. Speaking of beloved Japanese baseball player, Ichiro Suzuki is also joining Billy Wagner in that Hall of Fame class of 2025. Them, CeCe Sabathia, Dave Parker, and Dick Allen will be the 2025 class. But Ichiro Suzuki, we talked about it. He was not unanimous because one singular voter did not put him in. Do we have the audio of this as well?
I didn't see any audio.
I should have gotten the audio. Ichiro Suzuki. He had a very fun interaction about this because in talking about his induction, and do you see the
link
that we could play
I
here?
Was able to receive many votes from the writers and I'm grateful for them, but there was one writer that I wasn't able to get a vote from. I would like to invite him over to my house and we'll have a drink together and a good chat.
Why does that sound like a threat?
Yes, like,
and it's the thing. Maybe the least threatening baseball player you could point to, and not because he can't be threatening, but just because that dude is the goodest of dudes.
Yeah, he's just a great
dude. Ichiro Suzuki. I don't know that there is a person that has come into his orbit that has had a negative thing to say about Ichiro.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why he's so beloved, in addition to him being a incredibly good baseball player.
But it still sounds like, hey, we should go outside.
Right, exactly. Hey, come outside. We're not going to jump you.
Hey, come in for dinner. We got you.
We got you. Just come on over.
Big old bodyguard come in, sit him down, strap him to a seat. Yeah, what's up, man? So, why you ain't vote for me, man? Hey, don't worry about those guys in the corner with the gun.
No. You're not talking to them. You're talking to me.
Don't look at them.
Don't look at that guy with the machete right there.
Don't look at them.
I just want to know why you ain't vote for me.
Well, sir.
Somebody said, sounds like Ohtani to me. Screw the Dodgers. Nope. Sounds like Ohtani. Put him away.
That really was Ohtani.
That's right.
That would be a wild twist.
That'd be wild. All right.
Not about it.
But yeah, that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 on this Friday. Super excited for the weekend in general. And look, man, I'm Astros hype. I'm not going to lie.
Astros hype. I get it. Hey, we got some championship games this weekend.
That's right. We do have some championship games. We'll talk more about those throughout the show as well. But coming up next, all right, so I understand the Alex Bregman may be coming back, the moving Jose Altuve to left field, all of these things are salacious, but assuming that the Astros don't do anything else, just what they have right now is what they have, because we're still waiting to see if Presley, you know, waives his contract or waives his no trade clause or what have you. Assuming they don't do anything else, has this been a successful offseason for the Astros? Let us know what you think. 713-573-5724610. We'll get into that and more next.